there for the 7 seconds it took me to wake up. So, True Wealth, again, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We're very actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins, precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We specialize in investment portfolios and large, significant investment, wealth preservation, whatnot. We are, frankly, selling a lot more than we're buying. The truth about it is a lot of people are having an extremely difficult time locating metals. The consumption rate is phenomenal. The central banks, billionaires, large corporations, personal banks, investment brokerages, they're loading up on gold and silver. And silver, if you get into big dollars, folks, a lot of people will come in with a pretty substantial amount of money and they're thinking silver. Silver's kind of bulky, so the more money you put in, the more you get into gold. You know, maybe a little platinum, palladium, a little bit. And then we do a little bit of investment quality grade coins, which has done incredibly well over time. I just, you know, bought a few coins back, had a few coins come in today from a guy that are worth like, you know, $7,400 that we sold, you know, back in the early, maybe mid-2000s for $2,300 a piece. That's what good quality material does. Those are nice $20 rare 20s, and there's a lot more like that. And we specialize in that. We don't overweight it, but we believe in it. A lot of people are in this mode, and I understand, of wanting to preserve their capital because everything looks really ugly. And it's very doomy and gloomy. The thing you have to understand is the socialist left, I guess, you know, and there's a lot of right wingers in this too. I don't want to cut it here and cut it there, but you see the Romneys and the Cheneys and the Bushes freaking out all over Trump because of the Ukraine call. These guys have been on massive money laundering schemes forever. There's corruption deep. I said a long time ago, and I didn't understand it now as much as I do now, but I know a guy back in the D.C. area. It's actually in Pennsylvania, but he's one of the biggest precious metals brokers in the world, and he's massive, and he's very under the table, kind of, or just off the grid. He's not he's not retail like we are. And he was telling me many years ago when Bush was in office or right after he got out somewhere. I can't recall. But he was telling me these stories of their family, his family that owns this business, third generation, of them moving mammoth amounts of metals through LLCs up to the tune of $300 million, he said, to some of the most powerful politicians in the world that are being paid by massive corporations or other countries that their legislation has greatly favored. And I was thinking Bush, and right at the time there was the Medicare or the prescription bill. I assume that was part of it. But if you go back and you look at the Ukraine, all this stuff, the corruption's just wretched. Obama goes in office, he claims he's got one, for an asset, he's got a home worth $800,000 that Louis Farrakhan gave him in Chicago. And when he gets out, he's worth $60 million. And then, but they argue 20 to 60 or whatever, who cares? It's 60, because that's the word that hit the street. And then it's more now. He said it's from good investment guidance, okay? He gives out all these Solyndra loans in the billions and billions and billions of dollars. They don't have to be paid back, just like PPP stuff from COVID. It starts out as a loan. It gets forgiven if you meet certain criteria, which basically means nothing. No personal guarantees or anything. He gives that stuff out. You know, all these things that, you know, the kickbacks are just rolling back up the river. This is the corruption that has taken over our government. And I have other stuff to touch on. I had a bunch of notes here. Let me see if I think I'll probably hit this first, of kind of my perspective on what's going on, what's really going on. I kind of have a bunch of notes here. So shortly after 9/11, you gotta understand the whole world changed on 9/11. That's when the whole game began. If you haven't watched like 9/11 Mysteries, the correct one that's like, I don't know, maybe almost 2 hours long, I don't know. And it starts out with a fuzzy screen and an old TV guy. Anything other than that, no. They try to put out bait when you're looking for those kinds of movies to make you watch the wrong thing. And they have, you know, debunked garbage and all that. Don't go for any of that trash. You watch the original source. 9/11 Mysteries just ask a bunch of questions. They don't make any deductions. And after you get done watching it, you'll be like, wow. Yes, it was 20 plus years ago, but that's what formed our nation. It's sad, but it's like our founding fathers in 1776, darn near 250 years ago. You know, we need to know about that too. It's not like, well, that was so long ago. Well, it's sad that I'm comparing 9/11 to 1776. But really, that was the grand theft of all your rights. That was the beginning. The Project for a New American Century, headed up by all these guys, Cheney, Bush, Rumsfeld, all these guys, said that they needed a Pearl Harbor-style event in order to impose military police state actions over the whole world. And guess what they did? They went into Iraq and Afghanistan. These people, they created a mess. Why? Well, possibly because Cheney's major shareholder in Halliburton made billions that is dropped into an LLC. All these other guys get kickbacks, and it's really corrupt. It's really sad. So the department, okay, so on 9/11, Veep Dick Cheney instructed the NSA to view all Americans as potential threats. That's when we changed our standing as American citizens. The DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and the office, the ODN, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, I'm sorry, they were created specifically by Bush for this purpose, to spy on you and I. The DHS came along in 2002. And within the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence was formed. And this is when we got our own KGB. And they've used it. There's a lot of people locked up, folks. They don't even get a trial. They don't even get a bond. They don't even get a hearing. They're locked up and lost and rotten forever, because they just call you a potential domestic terrorist. And that, you know how that works. You saw the January 6th fallacy. So after September 11th of 01, our U.S. electronic surveillance system that was originally created to monitor threats from abroad was retooled to monitor threats inside of our own country. Isn't that interesting? So that's when all of our electronic metadata came under federal surveillance, which is exactly what Edward Snowden, if you recall, tried to point out through WikiLeaks. And the media called him a treasonous, you know, everything. I mean, come on, man. We don't even want to know the truth. Why is it that people want to trust their government so bad when our founders did everything they could to make sure that a government like that would never form again? And we get the left, the Federalists, if you will, they used to be called, that wanted the government to run everything. They believe in the government, the government, the government, the government. I mean, the government's just a conglomeration of people. The government doesn't offer the highest paying jobs. They don't get the best people. They get life support systems for paychecks. They're easily corruptible. They use power over money, and they, you know, etc. It's not a good situation. So later, after that, so Ed Snowden tried to do this through WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, I talked recently, did major data dumps differently than Musk has been doing. Musk is trickling it out for the average American to understand. Snowden just did a big dump on WikiLeaks with Julian Assange, and then character assassination, his site was taken down, he had to flee the country, both of them, I mean, and they made him look like total scumbags. It's terrible. I mean, you know, it's tough. How do you do it? Snowden tried to speak to people about it. They poo-pooed and blew him off. The power's too much. After 9/11, there were senators that tried to help people that were getting, what's it called, where they take them overseas to torture them because they couldn't do it here anymore. I don't know. Starts with an R. And they would just back down. They'd back down and back off because the pressure was so great, they'd get called terrorism. The problem is, when bad things come, this is how crazy laws come into effect. Through fear and anger, rage, you know, drug laws that are over the top, you know, minimum sentence of 10 years for methamphetamine possession and, you know, not that I'm into possess. I always have to quantify and say, well, you know, folks, I don't possess methamphetamine, but it's just common sense. It's like, it's just not smart, you know, and it's just the vilification of everything. You got all these laws in order that they just take our heads off, folks. They're really heavy duty stuff. So later, after all this went down, Barack Obama and Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the U.S., they weaponized the national surveillance system so that their political opposition, the Republicans, became the main targets. Obama hired Podesta to complete this task, I believe. The pre-existing FBI and DOJ, FBI, you know what they are, Department of Justice, the FBI and DOJ were then repurposed to become two of the four pillars of the domestic national security apparatus, which is a domestic surveillance and control state. So you got the FBI and DOJ as part of the four pillars. The problems, which they now have turned internally to their people. They have done, the FBI has orchestrated so many fraudulent arrests. If you remember the terrorism thing, all these people, you know, they get the shoe bomber and the remote control plane bomber and all this. In every single case, every one of these people said they got contacted on a blog by supposedly like Al-Qaeda. And then they were getting solicited to do this, that, and the other. And they tried to back out and they said these people threatened their families and all this stuff. Well, those people happened to be FBI agents acting like Al-Qaeda or whatnot. They created and orchestrated all these false attacks. They're called false flags. They need to do this to justify their position, and they lose sight of the value of humanity. They lose sight of the value of one man. It's kind of like this whole deal with Sam Bankman-Fried from the FTX fund for cryptocurrency. The Democrat Party was his largest, he was their largest donations, largest donator, you know, in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So a few senators get in because of him, and then down he goes to jail. They arrest him a day before he's supposed to testify so that he can't come out and tell the truth about all the dark money that he gave, which he mentioned on a podcast thing or on a video on YouTube. So their attitude is, hey, we get three Senate seats and one man goes to jail. To them, that's worthwhile. They don't value the man's life. Now, I'm not saying Sam Bankman-Fried's a good man. He was an absolute pathologically lying fool. I actually hate to see any life wasted that way. There's certain things. I think there's pure cruelty and corruption. And I think Friedman is definitely a liar. And the price is huge. He took all these people's money. He's got to pay the price. But locking one man up for his whole life, it doesn't recompense or reimburse those people for their losses. And it doesn't really make things right. The FCC, it's just, it'll be more regulations next time. That's all, right? That's all. And so, and eventually, you know where that ends up. Even though the SEC was in line, they had Bernie Madoff on their board of creating the laws, rules, and regs. And he was the biggest abuser of the whole thing. So, you know, where there's massive amounts of money, folks, there's massive amounts of power and massive amounts of corruption. You get back around D.C., positions equate to power. Power equates to money. Money equates to whatever you want. I'm sorry, Solomon said, money's the answer to everything. So the truth of the matter is, when you're like, oh, I don't care about money, I don't want money, that's foolish. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. You don't want to be in love with money. You don't want to lust after it. You don't want to covet it. You don't want to idolize it. You just use it as a vehicle to accomplish certain things. And it's a necessity that God created for us. It's a tangible track record, hypothetically, of your heart condition. Gold is mentioned, boom, right after the creation, and then it gets branded by God with the word, Hebrew word, taub, T-O-W-B or T-O-V-B. It's good, better, best, greatest, investment, health, wealth, prosperity, all on and on it goes. It's the highest complimentary word in the Bible. And it's the word he used when it said he saw his creation and saw that it was good, taub. So that's right out of the box. He goes, it's good. Boom. Economics hypothetically begins. God says all the gold and silver in the world is mine. Why would he say that? He, you know, the things that are biblically attributed as true wealth, gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. So gold and silver, God said, that's all mine, right? Livestock and real estate. Well, livestock, he said, I own all the cattle on the hills and all that. He's taking claim on that. Real estate, he's obviously set aside some pretty significant chunks of real estate for his people, right? Well, you go gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life. I don't even need to talk about that. God claims you. God claims me. Now, the precious stones he shows in heaven. And he also mentions them in the Old Testament. He doesn't say all the precious stones on earth are his, but he definitely uses them to decorate heaven. I mean, the first 12 layers of heaven or of the foundation are made out of 12 different jewels. Pretty impressive, I'm sure. I believe that heaven's in the shape of a pyramid, and I am pretty confident of that. Pyramid of Giza is an example sort of thing, but I won't go there. But anyway, the basic 12 steps there, are made out of that all these precious stones. So it's interesting that those are the items that God chose to claim are his, and that's what wealth truly is. So they repurpose that. The problems we face now as a country are directly tied to the actions of Bush and Obama. Don't let the Bush thing slide by. The Bush dynasty was not good. I'll put it lightly. They were corrupt. The Bush family came over from Germany as Nazis. They were hidden here, used for their connections and power and knowledge of this and that. Then they developed this dynasty, and guess what? Eventually, George H. Walker Bush, the senior, ended up being the head of the CIA. And the CIA, my friends, is not a clean, good, healthy organization, in case you were wondering. So the problems we face now are directly the result of the Bush and Obama regime. So the Bush administration monitored the communication of all American citizens. And secondly, Obama's team fine-tuned and used that system against their political opponents and American citizens. And finally, they used it against Trump and the Make America Great Again movement. That's what was going on during this election against Hillary. It was Russia, Russia, Russia. And, you know, Trump may be coming back. I think he might be a little bit burnt. He's been shut down, squeezed out, beat up. DeSantis seemed to imply he was going to run, and Trump automatically jumped out and started to rip on him again. DeSantis is the governor of Florida, and Trump just, I don't know. I we'll see. You know, he did his big announcement, didn't make much of a splash, haven't heard a lot since. I think that his, the mystery of Trump, the excitement of him is kind of gone, but we'll see. We need something so strong to win the conservative push because, man, the left has corruption at every level. The media won't quit. They literally, that Don Lemon, who's a black, flaming left-wing crazy man from CNN, was on a talk show maybe in the last month and said He doesn't believe that they're left-leaning. He literally claimed that he believes that they're fair and balanced. And I mean, that is such a skewed perception of reality. And I've mentioned the primary definition of a mental illness is a skewed perception of reality. He can't see things clearly. Dan Rather said that years back too, that he was completely unbiased. I mean, it's madness. They believe what they believe and they can't even see it anymore because everyone worships them. So now you got the Department of Homeland Security, the office for the director of the ODNI. See, I should have that memorized because it's so important. I'm kidding. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence, okay? So I'm going to just call it ODNI. So you got the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, ODNI, Director of National Intelligence, Department of Justice, and the FBI. Four legs on a table. Now the table can stand. They've become the four pillars of this new institution, which is the fourth branch of government now. You understand that? They used to say the fourth branch of government was the media. Not anymore. That's the fifth branch of government. The fourth branch is all these agencies that control everything that happens around the U.S. And even though they're hypothetically under the president's command and control, they don't listen. And they're proving that they don't have to, okay? So that's fourth branch of government. The intelligence branch is what I'd call it. Okay, so you got... If you know history, President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was a five-star general, to JFK, to Richard Nixon. So you got Dwight Eisenhower, military, Kennedy, CIA, Richard Nixon, FBI. They all warned against this exact thing happening. Eisenhower called it the military-industrial complex. And he warned against it in his departure speech. I think some of the most important speeches ever given by presidents are their departure speeches. Washington, Jefferson, and Madison all warned against the two-party system. They were disconcerted at the very least that this was happening. They knew what was going to happen. It is, as Christ said, a house divided among itself will fall, a nation divided will fall. A nation divided among itself. We're not unified. We're not united. People have different perspectives of what it means to be an American. People have skewed perspectives of what the freedom of speech means. They get these college professors that are fools. They're idiots. And they force this stuff down these kids' throats. Kids, you don't have a chance to object or change facts or details. College professors get super arrogant. And this will offend some, but I'm sorry. The old saying is, those who cannot or those who can't will teach. Okay? Those who cannot teach, consult. And that, when you hear consultant, it's just an interesting thing. A lot of people call themselves consultants without earning anything. So if the people who can't go out and make it by themselves, they'll become teachers. There's two types of teachers. There's a teacher who makes a living just teaching and regurgitating information. There are teachers, however, that made it, very few, a small portion, and are trying to teach other people how to do it. You'll see this occasionally in like MBA departments of large universities or highly respected universities from Harvard to Wharton and whatnot. Even Gonzaga has that. So there's those kind of teachers too. But in general, you know, teachers in general are entrepreneurs, you know. So that is interesting, or they're philosophically ideological, like Obama was supposedly at Harvard, even though there's virtually no record of anything. I think you get my point. Maybe you don't. If you don't, I probably don't either, so we'll keep rolling on. So those four branches we got, the coup They all warned against this happening. The coup against Trump is actually a repeat of the coup against Nixon, who was also a right-winger. But I'm not a huge fan of Nixon. But anyway, the coup against him, you know, the Watergate thing was minor compared to the stuff we're seeing now from the left. It's when the right does it, it's just some evil sin. The hypocrisy is just astounding. So the fourth branch of government that we just discussed controls our government and technically is beginning to control every facet of your life. They were crucial and critical during this COVID pandemic among control of the social media. Who did the control of the social media? This fourth branch of government. They go out, they have got power, they've got authority, they're terrifying, etc. So we, the people of the United States, are now under complete surveillance from the United States. We, the people, are the target. Do you understand? This is what Trump means when he says, they aren't after me, they're after you. I'm only standing in the way. Now think of that. Here's a brave, strong man who wants to stand in the way of our rights being stolen. Why do you think the media, you should, anytime you see the media and the left freak out so bad, don't repeat their rhetoric and say, well, yeah, I just don't like his personality. Who cares? What do you want? I mean, if you're the innocent man on campus and some big beast comes to pound on you and bully you, and there's someone who's got the power and authority to step in the way, and you're innocent, and they're brave, are you going to go, well, I'm really glad that he defended me and killed Goliath, but he's just got such a mean spirit, you know, or whatever? No, you shouldn't. God makes many unique people. If you ever notice, the more insecure we are, the more we dislike ourselves, and the more miserable or unhappy we are, the more we want to judge other people. But how do we judge them? We judge them through our own grid of perception, which is, at that point, dysfunctional, unhealthy, or skewed. And what do? We try to make them more like us. You can take insecurity the other way when you get into the flaming lefty cuckoo bird stuff, where you're like, everyone's cool, everyone's chill. But those people don't believe that. If they're like, I love everyone all the time, and you walk in and start talking about the God of the Bible and the Ten Commandments and what's right and wrong, now you're a intolerant, hateful, racist bigot. So they're not really accepting everyone, like they say. The truth of the matter is, the more confident someone is, the higher their self-esteem, the more comfortable they are standing in the ring with anyone at any level at any time. Again, another example, like a boxing match. So if you had someone like Mike Tyson, right? He doesn't have the greatest personality. He's done a lot of stupid stuff. Would Mike Tyson be afraid to get in the ring with anyone? No. If somebody was picking on someone and Tyson had to hop in the ring to protect them, or just on the street or whatever you want to call it, he's got the ability to take someone down big time. He's made that way by God. He said by the age of 12, he knew it. You should see pictures of him at 14. He's got big old honking pipes. The guy was faster than heck. I was into boxing hardcore for a long time, studied it and did it a lot. And, you know, Tyson would throw punches like a gorilla. No one can perfect what he did. When you watch him swing, he has this super high speed swing, and his both of his feet come off the ground. They're elevated inches off the ground, and he has the ability to transfer all the body weight, the center of gravity, through his arm and take someone's heads literally off. He doesn't even bend his arm, which is orthodox. It's very unorthodox. You can't, hypothetically, you can't punch the way he does, but he's built that way. Back in, like, the early 90s, I was in the Portland area in a bank management training program with Norwest Banks, and I was working my way up. I was still just in the credit manager stage, and I had a boss named Roger Snyder, and one night we went to some boxing matches in Portland with, I don't know, I think it was Greg Aline and Hector Macho Camacho or whatever, and which I loved. But when I was there, we got a good seats up front, and I was sitting right behind Leon Sphinx, who was a big name at the time. Leon had just fought Tyson, and he got knocked down / out. It looked like he took a fall. Tyson's punch bounced off the top of his head. Don't ask me why I was so cocky, but I leaned forward and started talking to him, and my boss was just like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. And I'm like, dude, you took a fall. Why'd you take a fall? I was harassing him. I don't know what I was thinking. But he was pretty cool to me, and he goes, you go in there and get hit by that guy. And I said, I know, but I still think you took a fall, and I still think he did. And afterwards, my boss was like, you're crazy to talk to Leon Spinks like that. And then, like, years later, he was hanging around at night, I think, having a few drinks or something with a group of guys, and he called me. A long time later, I don't even know, probably 15 years later, and said, do you remember me? And I go, yeah. And he goes, he was sitting there with a bunch of guys, and he was just laughing, telling them the story. They didn't believe that I sat there and kind of got in Leon Spinks' face about that, which when I look back, I'm like, what was I thinking, man? I was a little young and brazen. Obviously, before I read the Dale Carnegie book on how to win friends and influence people, which actually is the truth. That changed my life. But he might have got knocked out. I mean, it bounced off the top of his head, but Tyson was a beast. So, as Trump said, they aren't after me, they're after you. I'm just standing in the way. The ODNI, Office of Something for National Intelligence, Director of National Intelligence, was created and originally intended for the CIA, NSA, DOD, and DOS, which is Department of Defense and Department of Security. All these three-letter alphabet soup agencies, folks, they're our own worst enemy. So the DIA... what is that? I don't know. I wrote that down. To deposit. So the ODNI, Office of Director of National Intelligence, was created and intended for the CIA, NSA, DOD, DOS, and DIA to deposit their unique intelligence in one central place. So that agencies like the Department of Justice and the FBI could access threats when they needed to analyze threats to the U.S., so because of this, they hoped this would ensure the obvious flags, you know, like I said, there's false flags, red flags, whatever, that they missed in the 9/11 attacks would not be missed again. However, the 9/11 attacks, they didn't miss any flags. If you watch 9/11 Mysteries, they knew what was going down. Cheney and Rumsfeld had changed the requirements for NATO or NORAD to intercept any aircraft. They couldn't do it without phone verbal permission from Cheney or Bush or Rumsfeld, etc. Guess what? Not one of those guys answered the phone that day. And here's what's even crazier. They were running a practice drill. Yes, this is true. At the same time 9/11 took place, they were running a practice drill of the exact same thing happening. So they weren't even sure this was really happening. They thought that it was all, just a test. This is not a coincidence, folks. There's so much about that day you can't even imagine. It's just not possible. So you get the point. That's not, even though they use this as an excuse to try to get this kind of security. It was all phony anyway. So, however, I guess it's now this ODNI, which is the Centralized National Intelligence Database and Resources. They're now used by the intelligence branch to target Trump and you, our American citizens, and hide information from one agency to another. They also classify top secret nearly everything they do anymore. Think about America. Our founders make a government for the people, by the people, and of the people. They're there to serve us. It's a minuscule government. They meet our minimum requirements. The rest of it's on the states. The federal government's job, the executive branch, is to protect us. They're to protect us, everything to do with the borders. Immigration, excise tax, import tax, all these kinds of things. Our military, etc. That's their job. The legislative branch starts with the Senate. They create bills and then they approve them and send them through to Congress. So their job is to legislate new laws, but we're not supposed to be putting out 385 new laws a week. This is so ridiculous. They're repeating stuff that they've already got. They're making stuff so police state. It's coming to the point, folks, where they can come and get you anytime for anything, even without breaking a law. They just do whatever they want. I mean, this is happening now. The police state has total authority over you. It's not right. I love it when I see these sheriffs that stand up and say, I will not enforce this law about gun ownership. The sheriff in Oregon said that. They passed some, you know, I won't get into the details, but, you know, it's how big your magazine is, how big your gun is, how long of a wait you have, how much hoops you have to jump through to get a gun. That is deprivation of the Second Amendment. And the argument of the left is, well, no, you can have a gun. You just got to meet our requirements. Yeah. It's like getting a PhD from Harvard, you know. 1 out of 1,000 get there. The rest don't. Or whatever it is, but you get my point. So now the ODNI is used by our intelligence branch. They track me, you, and Trump, etc. So the intelligence branch is an independent functioning branch of government. In other words, the president, who should be over it, has no control. It's no longer a subsidiary set of agencies within the executive branch, president, as most would think. How can you have a security-related branch that's not under the executive branch? This is a mess, folks. This is creating entities within our government to take over our government and over our people. But the problem is the left wing controls them. So they think it's all cool and groovy until it gets out of control. You look at Nazi Germany, the brown shirts. They just got to the point, they were so afraid anyone, it just got to the point where the people who sell out are the last ones killed, but they're getting killed. And I'm telling you, we're going down that road. People got to wake up. We bicker and fight over the most petty issues, and this is the solid long-term state of our United States of America, your home land, I hope. So, the intelligence branch functions like the State Department. And they have a unique set of public-private partnerships, fascism, to support it. They use corporations to do their dirty work, like those in Silicon Valley, social media, Amazon, etc. They get these megacorps to do all their dirty work for them. They go and they do. All the spying from social media, it's all going straight to the government. The intelligence branch holds power over the office of the Director of National Intelligence through their influence and partnership with the body that authorizes the power within it, which is the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. So the people behind Obama the same people who are now behind Biden, including Obama, who's behind him, they knew from years of strategic planning that radical transformation would require complete control over specific elements inside of our government. And then in comes Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, crazy man. He played a key role in his position as the U.S. Attorney General in the Department of Justice. He changed everything. He taught the lefties how to say no, how to disobey, how to not follow the rules, how to be filled with hate. Obama, smooth as glass and destructive as the devil, you know? Which is why you need to be as wise as the serpent, yet as innocent as doves. You have to be able to discern evil, call it what it is, and then prepare to stand against it. And again, my end of the world is financial, and that's all I can hypothetically really help you with. I mean, there's other things. You got to prepare. There's a lot going down, and this stuff is just built and built and built. It's crazier than a novel, you know, a fiction novel. So A.G. Holder recruited ideologically aligned political operatives who were aware of the larger institutional objectives. This is what John Boehner talked to me about the day I spent with him about, a long time ago on the lake. That's when he first introduced the deep state and told me that they'd planted people everywhere, which left them null and void in any actions they attempted. So A.G. Holder recruited ideologically aligned political operatives who are aware of their larger institutional objectives. So one of those objectives was weaponizing the Department of Justice and the National Security Division, DOJ, NSD, a division inside the Department of Justice that had no inspector general oversight. So the second larger Obama-Holder objective was to have control over the FBI. Why was that important? Pretty obvious, I suppose. Because the FBI does the domestic investigative work on anyone who needs or holds a security clearance. The removal of security clearances could be used to hire bad guys. Think about it. They oversee security clearances. This, I actually don't completely agree with these notes because I think this started under Clinton. But the Secret Service and FBI were shutting down a lot of bad people the Clintons tried to get in. But the Clintons tried to, you know, morph our government pretty considerably into an immoral use of a gang, basically. So Hillary Clinton and her operatives, who later worked in the Obama State Department, began working on their first steps of using big tech to spy on and control us, all of us. The Obama administration used, remember this Arab Spring garbage, as a beta test. The Obama administration recruited Facebook and Twitter to support rebellions in the Middle East that the White House and Department of Justice or Department of Security supported, or the Department of State, I'm sorry, DOS, Department of State. They supported and to hide those rebellions they didn't support. This was the modern merger between the U.S. intelligence community and big tech social media. Arab Spring. And folks, this stuff's scary. They just fed us a bunch of lies about all this stuff going on over there, and it was a good thing. It's a good thing. They take out Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, who had it under control. What they did to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya is horrendous. He had a treaty with us, and they had a band of thugs, a big group, come drag him down the street, kill him. It was terrible. You don't do that to people. Then they took all of his weapons and transferred him to Syria and, oops, accidentally gave him to the wrong people. They thought it was the freedom fighters, but it wasn't. And then you get, later, Biden pulling out of Afghanistan, leaving behind $85 billion in weapons for al-Qaeda. There's pictures that came out this week. We're supposed to be done over there. They have pictures of massive pallets. I'm talking massive. Packed with $100 bills, packs. Like in $100,000 packs. These pallets stand like 4 or 5 feet high, 4 or 5 feet wide, 4 or 5 feet deep, multiples. Billions of dollars. The Obama or the Biden administration still feeding these guys. I mean, this is like, we're so pulled apart right now, folks. I don't know how it could be reconstructed unless people get re-educated. So the Obama administration recruited Facebook and Twitter to support rebellions in the Middle East that the White House and Department of State supported, and then they hid those that they didn't support. That was the modern merger, like I said. In many ways, this coordinated effort was a test run for how they rigged the 2020 U.S. presidential elections. The U.S. intelligence community worked with social media platforms and their political operatives. So a lot of people, many people that say Congress is the solution to eliminating the fourth and superseding branch of government, which is the intelligence branch, this is an exercise in futility because the legislative branch, specifically the SSCI, facilitated the creation of this intelligence branch. The U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, which is a farce, which is referred to as the Intelligence Committee or the SSCI, is dedicated to overseeing the United States Intelligence Community, the agencies and bureaus of the federal government of the U.S. that provide information and analysis for leaders of the executive and legislative branches. The committee was established in 76 by the 94th Congress. So the committee is select in that membership is temporary and rotated among members of the chamber. The committee is comprised of 15 members. 8 of those seats are reserved for one majority and one minor member to each of the following committees: the Appropriations Committee, Armed Services, Foreign Relations, and Judiciary. Of the remaining 7, 4 are members of the majority and 3 are members of the minority. In addition, the majority leader and minority leader are non-voting. They're ex officio members of the committee. So the chairman and ranking member of the Committee on Armed Services, if he hasn't already been a member of the select committee, are ex officio members. They can't participate. They just lead. The Select Committee on Intelligence was preceded by what they call the Church Committee. So all of President Obama's 2009 intelligence appointments required confirmation from the Senate. The nominees had to first pass through the Democratic-controlled SSCI and then to a full Senate vote where Democrats held a 60-vote majority. So essentially, Obama got everyone he wanted in place easily. Rahm Emanuel, Mr. Never Let a Good Crisis Go to Waste, was Obama's chief of staff, and Valerie Jarrett was senior advisor, just corrupt. Rahm Emanuel went back to be the mayor of Chicago, and you can see how well that's worked out. Now they have that Lori Light face or Lightfoot. So over the past 10 years, all these senators have been on the SSCI. Now you can see how they act the way they do. They protect each other and those in the SSCI committee. So there's Mitch McConnell, ex officio, John McCain, Susan Collins, Marco Rubio, James Lankford, Tom Cotton, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. You've got all these people that have been tied up in this stuff, Harry Reid and Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer, and it just keeps going on like that. Republicans were in control of the Senate Intelligence Committee in 2015 when the intelligence branch operation to take down candidate Trump was underway. Dianne Feinstein's staffer, Dan Jones, who was a whack job, left the SSCI so he could act as a liaison and political operative between private sector efforts, Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, the Steele dossier, getting ready for the Trump thing. So the SSCI was a participant in the Fusion GPS and the fake Steele dossier operation. And as a direct consequence, Republicans were inherently tied to the problem with President Trump taking office in January of 2017. They did not expect him to win. They thought their efforts would be covered up, but they weren't. So when it came to the intelligence system targeting Trump during the 2015-16 primaries, the GOP was just as much at risk of being exposed as their Democratic counterparts. When Trump unexpectedly, which is true, won the 2016 election, even his campaign manager who quit, the gal, said he only expected to get 11% and be a protest candidate so he could hand votes left or right. The SSCI was shocked more than most. They knew the countermeasures would need to be deployed to protect themselves from their any exposure of their prior intelligence conduct. That's why this madness broke out against Trump. So immediately, Senator Dianne Feinstein stepped down from the SSCI and Senator Mark Warner was elevated to vice chairman. Indiana Republican Senator Dan Coats was a member of the SSCI. Indiana's own Mike Pence, then vice president, recommended fellow Hoosier SSCI Senator Dan Coats to become President Trump's Director of National Intelligence as part of the cover-up. President Trump would have no way of knowing this, that Pence was actually involved. The SSCI facilitates the corrupt existence of the intelligence branch. So the intelligence branch only cooperates with the SSCI. It's really that simple. So you can't get to the intelligence branch. It's a big secret. The intelligence branch carefully selects its own members by controlling how security clearances are investigated and allowed through the FBI. The intelligence branch also uses compartmentalization of intelligence, in other words, hides it, as a way to keep each agency and each downstream branch of government, which includes the executive, legislative, and judicial branches, it keeps them at arm's length as a method to stop anyone from seeing the big picture of their activities. It's kind of the silo effect, and it's done by design. An appointee to the Intelligence Committee has to first pass through the SSCI before they get a full Senate vote. If they reject the candidate, they simply refuse to take up the nomination, and then the president's then blocked from that appointment. This is what happened with President Trump over and over and over again. So additionally, the intelligence branch protects itself and its allies through the formal classification process. Intelligence branch gets to decide unilaterally what information will be released, what information will be kept secret. There's no entity outside of that intelligence branch, and yes, that includes the President of the United States, who can supersede the classification authority of the intelligence branch, which is something 99.9% of the people are on the conservative side get wrong. No one can declassify or make public anything the intelligence branch will not agree to. Doubt that? Ask Rick Grenell, John Ratcliffe, and even President Trump himself. No one can declassify or make public anything that the intelligence branch does not agree to. That's where they're trying to get Trump on this. The classification process is determined inside the intelligence branch. All by themselves, the intelligence branch has full control over what is considered classified information and what is not. They define what is national security interest and what is not, a great technique for hiding fingerprints of corrupt and illegal activity. The intelligence branch does all redactions. This, my friends, is how they've taken us over. They didn't like it when President Trump sent out a letter, which I won't read. Statement from the press secretary. Today at the request and recommendation of Attorney General of the United States, President Donald J. Trump directed the Intelligence Committee to quickly and fully cooperate with the AG's investigation into surveillance activities during the 2016 presidential election. The Attorney General has also been delegated full and complete authority to declassify information pertaining to this investigation in accordance with the long-established standards for handling classified information. Today's actions will help ensure that all Americans learn the truth about the events that occurred and the actions that were taken during the last presidential election and will restore confidence in the Republican institution. That was from Trump. So, and then Trump, he sent a tweet that said, I've fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents pertaining to the single greatest political crime in American history, the Russia hoax. Likewise, the Hillary Clinton email scandal, no redactions. So for their own self-preservation, the intelligence branch has been interfering. This is back to notes. in our elections for years. The way to tear this apart begins at the state level election reform, with state level election reform that blocks the legislative branch. I wrote too much stuff here. Which explains why Joe Biden instructed Attorney General Merrick Garland to use the full power of the DOJ to stop state level election reform efforts. So Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft are all partnering with the intelligence apparatus to surveil us, control us, brainwash us, and rig elections. I don't want to go on too much with this. So when the intelligence branch within our government wants to conduct surveillance and monitor American citizens, they run up against problems due to the Constitution of the United States. They get around those legal limitations by subcontracting the intelligence gathering, the data mining, and allowing outside parties like social media contractors to have access. So they can't do it, but they have someone else do it for them. The biggest names in big tech have a partnership with the Five Eyes Intelligence Network, controlled by the NSA. They are to monitor all activity in their platforms, identify extremist content, look for expressions of domestic violent extremism, and then put the content details into a database where the Five Eyes of Intelligence can access it. And I got more and I won't keep going. You get the point. We're about out of time again. My apologies. I didn't intend for that to go so long. We're heading into Christmas. Praise God. You know, have peace. Depart, you know, despite what's going on. I will repeat again and again, folks, with all this stuff going down, it's very serious. I don't want to just be alarmist. You got to move into action. I discuss it over and over again. If you got a 401k or IRA, you need to consider cashing it out and getting medals right now. There's no other thing to get. And doing that at the beginning of the year, if you have an IRA or 401k, gives you 16 months before taxes are due, which is awesome. If you have a savings account or whatever, you know, you can bring that in too. We are closed like the 23rd through the 1st or 2nd. Just so you know, between Christmas and New Year's. So don't get caught up in that. Thank you for tuning in and have a great weekend. Love you. Bye-bye.